Welcome to Just Think, the podcast.
The podcast where we don't want to tell you what to think.
We just want to encourage you to do it.
We are three friends that came from across the political spectrum who were tired of partisan politics and were alarmed at what we saw happening in our country, including the growing political divide.
But we found as we challenged ourselves to recognize our own biases, to put them aside, we were absolutely united in our pursuit for the truth.
And that's why we started this podcast, to share the conversations we were having around that pursuit and to invite you into our conversation.
To encourage you to feel free to ask questions, search for the answers yourself, to say what you think.
That's right, because as we like to say, diversity of thought, ideas, and beliefs are welcome here. Asshats are not.
All are welcome as long as you just think.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And I'm Nate.
And Grinson.
And today we're joined by another very special guest, Miss Erica Spivey. And she's going to help us do a deep dive on a topic we've been wanting to talk about for quite some time. And actually, we have talked about when it's just the three of us, but we've not invited a guest on to have a more nuanced conversation around a very polarizing topic. And that topic is abortion. When Roe v. Wade was overturned this past year by the Supreme Court, many people had a lot of misinformation about what that meant. And so we did do an episode where we talked about what the constitutional scholars said about that decision, not what activists said, not what anyone said other than people who could strictly interpret the constitutional rights of both the state and federal government. And what we found was even constitutional scholars who agreed with freedom of choice for regarding the abortion topic, where they really took a firm stand is saying it belongs at the state level. It does not belong at the federal level for there to be a federal mandate or law. There has to be, these choices have to be made by the states. Well, we watched as the media took all of this and ran with it. And there was a lot of fear mongering and a lot of misinformation, quite honestly, around this topic. And we want to begin by saying we know that this is a polarizing topic. It's an emotional topic and people have very strong emotional feelings around it, all of which we completely understand. We would be lying if we said we didn't have strong feelings around it too. But what Amy and Kristen and I are very much committed to is the idea of bringing information to your table. And instead of telling you what to think or what to do, we try to give you information for you to make informed choices and informed decisions. And when we found out about Erica and her work with Lifeline Children's Services, we thought there was a really unique perspective that perhaps hasn't been talked about enough. And so when you look at this from, let's say, the pro-choice perspective, the extreme of that is you can have an abortion up to, in some cases now, 9 months gestation. And there are people who believe that that is a woman's right to choose. If you look at the far, far, far right perspective, it is any abortion is murder and there is, should be no excuses whatsoever for abortion. And then there's a whole lot of people who find themselves on a spectrum in between and how they feel about the topic. And to be honest with you, today, what we don't want to do is tell you what to think about this topic. But what we'd like to do is give you more information around the topic so that when you make your choices and when you go to vote and when you take your stands, you understand the complexity of the issue. And it's not simple. And what I loved when I first learned about Lifeline and what Kristen and Amy, what we all loved was, This was an organization that is Christian-based, so it is a faith-based organization, but their heart and their ministry is to support a woman who finds herself pregnant, period, full stop. So it is about ministering and focusing on that woman and helping her make the decisions for herself with all the information that they can provide for her, and not just information, support during and after choices that she makes. And we loved that because we know the complexities. And I think if you were to talk to most women would say they found themselves in a place where they either were afraid they were pregnant and were not ready. I certainly did. Y'all know I love my Anderson, but he was not planned. And it really freaked me out when I got pregnant with him. Or I think it's very few women who would say they've never had a scare or never had a situation where you thought you might be pregnant and you weren't ready. So let's put ourselves in those shoes today as we talk about these women. Remember the times, and if you've never had those times, good for you. But I think most of you know what we're talking about. And let's try to empathize and sympathize with where people are. And then let's talk about how we can help them. So Erica, thank you so much for being on with us today. Would you start by telling what Lifeline Children's Services exist to do? What is kind of y'all's mission statement?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Amy, Kristen, and Holly. It's such a privilege to be on here today with you all. So Lifeline's mission, again, we're a faith-based organization, is to equip the body of Christ. So you heard Holly mention working predominantly through the vehicle of the church, but to manifest gospel hope to vulnerable women, children, and families. We are the largest evangelical adoption agency in the United States. We operate domestically, also in a dozen international countries. We actually were founded in 1981, and our roots are in the pregnancy counseling ministry. So this is really near and dear, this topic, and what we're going to be chatting about today is near and dear to our ministry. And really, we want to just bring gospel hope to vulnerable children, to mothers in the wake of crisis, families wanting the blessing of a child, and orphans around the globe.
I love that. All right, so let me ask you this. So let's say someone finds themselves pregnant. They don't want to, they're not a Christian. They don't, or maybe they identify as a Christian, but I think there's some women when they get pregnant and they're scared, the last person they probably want to talk to is Christians. I'm gonna be honest. Amy, Kristen, do you know what I mean? Like, am I alone? Like, I feel like there would be this fear of they're going to try to talk me into keeping this baby that I'm terrified to have. Right. And I just want to have a very transparent conversation. So if a woman finds herself in those shoes, why would she feel comfortable seeking out Lifeline as a means to help her get educated? And I think what she's going to look for mostly is support. What would make her say, I'm going to feel comfortable, or I'm going to be accepted here? Because I imagine some are going to feel like they're not.
Yeah, that's such a great question, Holly. And you know, we're not coming at it with any one specific agenda. Our pregnancy counselors really are there to be her advocate and to walk alongside her, to support her in helping her make the best decision that's informed for herself and her child. And we understand that she's in a place of crisis. And so we come at things also through a trauma-informed lens. And how that kind of happens is you're really just building relationship with her. I mean, you're sitting down with her over a cup of coffee or a meal, but in person, and you're hearing her story and you're understanding, you know, what she has been through, what has brought her to this place, what is her current support system look like. And so we're just there to be the one that really is saying, we know this is hard. You're in a hard place, but we're here and we're going to walk through this with you.
I love that. Okay. So tell me how Lifeline specifically works, because again, one of the things we were talking about beforehand, before we hit recording and before we hit record, and Eric and I have discussed this in the past, you guys have chosen to work through physical church buildings because, again, you're all over the United States, and I think you're actually in other countries. Are you in other countries yet?
Yes,
you are. So you've chosen to work through church buildings for a very specific reason. And again, like I said, I know some people are going to be reticent to walk in a church building, but the places that you guys work through, I know you work through Mercy Hill in Greensboro, North Carolina, because my family goes there. But how have you set up your organization within that building to serve that community?
Yeah, that is another really good question. So we don't physically have necessarily an office, right, or a presence in each of those buildings, but we're here really to equip the church. And this is true internationally and domestically, to be doing that frontline mission to vulnerable populations. And so we want to act as a resource to equip the church through programs, tools, mentoring programs, programs to really help them engage with vulnerable populations, understand the nuance, the complexities of that, and to help them really be that community outreach to those that are hurting, and be able to put the practical steps in place with also ministering to, you know, the spiritual and the emotional needs of those individuals.
Sure. Okay. So when a woman finds herself in crisis, she's pregnant, not ready to be, doesn't want to be, how does she find you?
Yeah, that's another good question. So it can happen a couple of different ways. A woman may find herself in an unplanned pregnancy and she has arrived on the doorstep of a pregnancy resource center. Maybe she's come in to get an ultrasound, to get that pregnancy test. And so she finds out the news there. And so through our partners with those resource centers, they may call us to have us walk alongside her with some options counseling or to support the way that they are caring for her. Another big avenue with which we're getting referrals or women are finding Lifeline is on our, is on the web. People are searching. People are Googling. We have a spot also on our website that they can go in. I'm pregnant. I'm scared. You know, I don't know what to do. And so for 24/7, we have pregnancy counselors that are there and ready to answer their questions and to meet their needs. And I think one of the beautiful things too, ladies, is that we are in 19 states, but we serve vulnerable women in all 50 states. So even if we don't actually physically have a presence in a state and there's a woman there that needs counseling and needs that support, we're there for her, and we will put a pregnancy counselor on a plane and fly her to that woman for that in-person meeting. So we have really... We've made that commitment. That's our heart. Again, we don't want her to walk alone through this journey and through this season that she's in.
I love that. Well, it definitely seems you are very focused on the woman first.
Yeah, and
I think that's...
Yeah, that's important. I mean, it is, you know, it is about the child that's in her, but I think if we lose sight of ministering to that life, to that woman that's right in front of us, you know, it's that, that's hard. I mean, she's special. She has value and she has worth. And I will tell you, that's something often that you will hear, these women say, you know, they don't have a support system, but they will say, I just don't think I have value. My child has value, but they don't even believe that about them, about themselves.
Which is tough. Okay. So they can find you, like they can find you online. They can find you through one of the resource centers where they're getting the ultrasound, or they can find you through the actual church.
That's
where
right.
You're, okay. So multiple ways that you can be found, like you said, in 19 states, but you'll fly anywhere in the U.S. to help a woman who's in need. So that's all amazing. So, okay. And you have trained. That's the other thing I think we need to point out, because some of you might be listening and you have a heart for this and you want to help these women. You guys will come in and train people how to be an advocate to these women. Is that correct, Erica?
Yes, and that would be through a mentoring program called Worthy. And so it is really designed, you know, as you said, Holly, at the beginning, right? Sometimes the last place a woman that's in an unplanned pregnancy would want to go is the church, right? There can be church hurt. There can just be all kinds of reasons for that. So this mentoring program that Lifeline has created addresses several key things that are common really to vulnerable populations, but women. But we train them to be a mentor. And then we also help equip them to understand about how trauma can impact somebody, and how do you approach and how do you come alongside and walk with somebody that's been through, had some traumatic experiences in their lives.
I love that. Okay. So now let's just pretend there's this a woman who finds herself pregnant today. She reaches out to Lifeline. You guys connect her with an advocate who's been trained to help support her first in the situation she's in, to be able to help her identify these traumas and to basically start processing where she's at and how to move forward. Now, this is where I think it gets really important, is that you guys begin to, as she talks through where she's at and what she wants, you guys begin to provide education in a myriad of ways to what her choices are. So whether it be abortion, which we know some are really going to want to choose, maybe some are like, I want to try to raise this child, but I can't do it alone. Or they want to pursue adoption. Would those be like the three options that you guys are trained to help them walk through every scenario?
Exactly. And we want to talk about all of those because she has all three of those options. So again, when we talk about giving a woman choice and giving a woman voice and empowering her, she has to know the truth about all three of those options. And then we're going to talk about that too in context with what are her goals and what does she want? And we'll compare, how do those options help her accomplish those goals? We'll also make sure, I think one of the most important things is making sure that she's safe. That's a critical thing for our counselors to do. If she's not safe, we want to make sure we're getting her in a place that she's safe. And then we really want to help her assess and talk through, what does her support system look like? How could that grow? What does she need? There may be some really practical things. I think the heartbreaking thing is women sometimes feel like their only two options are parenting. And if they can't parent, then they think their only other option is abortion. Mm. And in reality, they do have another option to consider that could be adoption. That's not the best option, you know, for every woman, nor is that our goal. I want to make that very clear. Less than 10% of the women that we counsel will make an adoption plan. So we really want to be there to help her assess her situation, to build that support system for her and to walk alongside. And that's not like a one-time conversation kind of thing. That happens over building a relationship with her, getting to know her, and building that trust. You know, that we can be somebody that's going to give her feedback, honest feedback about her situation, and ask, you know, questions to help her think through things. And I think, remember, when that woman first, you know, when all of us have first found out maybe that we were expecting, there's a lot of different emotions. But if it truly is an unexpected pregnancy, and one in every three pregnancies is an unexpected pregnancy, are the statistics, there can be fear, and particularly, you know, in these situations. So we don't want her to make a decision for her or her child in a place of crisis. Mm. We want to make sure that she has what she needs to be stable. And then we'll talk about, you know, what she's going to ultimately do, but we need to care for her first.
I love that. And mm-hmm. It definitely sounds like, two, you're trying to help her not make a decision in a place of fear, which we've talked a lot on the podcast about. We know what fear does to the brain, and it paralyzes you, and it kind of forces you to make decisions maybe you otherwise wouldn't make if you weren't living in that fear. So it sounds like you're earning her trust, you're giving her support, you're giving her love and the confidence to share with you exactly where she is so that you can support her as she navigates the choices. As you said, she does have three choices, and those, she's got to pick one. And right. You said statistically only 10% decide on adoption. So let's start there. If they do decide on adoption, do you guys help introduce her to agencies that, like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So one of the beautiful things about Lifeline, even though we are an adoption ministry, that that expectant mom has a separate advocate than the families that are adopting. They have another social worker that is serving them. Again, our goal is, right, to protect her and to advocate for her. And so we would walk her through that process. And in all of these choices, I think another thing that's really important that our pregnancy counselors do is, whether it's adoption, abortion, or parenting, we're going to talk about the grief, right, and the heartache, and, you know, the pros and cons, for lack of putting it in a better phrase of, you know, what that means for her. And I think at the core is, we believe that she has got value and worth. And because of that, she deserves the truth, right, to know about her options. And she is worthy of receiving support and love and hope during this difficult time. And that's what we're about.
Can I pause that for a minute and just, as I'm listening, because I'm really taking all of this in, and I just think about, you know, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about what I've read and learned about Planned Parenthood and where they are acting, from what it sounds to me, is that they are acting under the guise of helping women and putting women first, whereas you truly are. Because they say, oh, we care about the women. You know, we want these women to be empowered. Like, you know, if you support, you know, abortion, then that means you don't care about the women and the women can just die and they're going to kill the, you know, all this stuff. And that's not the truth. And what they're really doing is saying, yes, by all means, they're almost encouraging people to do this, saying you either have the baby and you're screwed how you think you will be, which they're not, although, you know, they just need support, or you just do this. It's easy. You just go ahead and have this procedure and then go home. And then you're left with all of the emotions that come with it, in addition to all of the physical things that can come with it later or right then. And so I just feel like hearing you, it's like you need information. Everybody needs information for any decision that you're going to make that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. Whether you have the baby or you don't, you're going to deal with that decision for the rest of your life. And you need to have a lot of information to make that decision.
And loving love support.
Actually providing that, yes, and the support.
That is so true. And I love what you said about a place, right, that says we're about choice. Really, to me, there's not a lot of choice there, right? I mean, they're about one agenda and one thing. So when we're really talking about choice and truly empowering women and giving them honest information so they have voice and advocacy and they can make the best decision that they believe for themselves and their child, I think that's very different than an experience or what an organization like Planned Parenthood would offer.
And don't you think that the country thinks there's kind of two extremes? You know, you keep the baby and it's problematic because you're not prepared. I mean, how many women have we seen stand on a stage at awards programs? And, you know, I think Michelle Williams said, had I not had an abortion, I could never have gotten here. And we all know that's not true. That's patently false. There's plenty of people who have been successful with children that they didn't either they planned or they didn't. And I think that we find ourselves in this very polarized world. Kristen, you nailed it with the way that you said that. It's like there's two extremes and you got to pick one of the extremes. And none of that feels right to, I would probably guess, most people, right? This is way more complicated, as Erica so beautifully laid out at the beginning. There are three choices and there needs to be a lot of information and support and care for that woman first, and also for that child that she's carrying, and to help that woman make that choice. And I think some people have stayed away from pregnancy care centers for fear that they were going to be talked into keeping a baby. And then I think people have been afraid to go to Planned Parenthood for fear of being talked into an abortion. So you've got like these polarized extremes. And what appealed to me so much about Lifeline was this is complicated and let's go love on and support this woman to help her navigate where she is right now. So Erica, I guess most of the women that you guys have worked with, you've been able to help them walk through their pregnancy and give birth and raise that child. So I want you to talk about that, but I do want you to, you know, I know you've acknowledged this to me. Sometimes they choose abortion and we want to talk through what that's like too, but just real quick, like statistically around how many do you find are choosing making that choice with Lifeline?
Yeah, Holly, I wish I had that statistic for you about how many, you know, are choosing to parent. And a little bit of what makes that a little bit more difficult is Lifeline really sees themselves as the options counseling expert. And so if a woman, depending upon how, it doesn't really actually matter how she's come to us, I guess I would say, but if she's going to choose to parent, Lifeline is there to support her and help her, but we know that there's other organizations like pregnancy resource centers and churches that really are better equipped to help her be able to walk through, you know, becoming a new parent and getting parenting classes and getting resources like diapers and clothing and cribs and all of these wonderful things that resource centers, pregnancy resource centers and other organizations. There's so much in our area for a woman that wants to parent and to keep, you know, to start her family that way, to have the resources that she needs to be able to do that. And so that is also one of the joys that we get to do, is help to connect her with others that are already in her area. So that, again, that could be a pregnancy resource center. It could be other organizations. And then ultimately we know, right, depending upon her situation, if she's parenting and she feels like she's lacking in support and resources, we would love to be able to help connect her with a church, again, that has a program like A Worthy or an Embrace Grace or something like that, right, that can really help wrap around and support her. And start taking those first steps. And that Worthy program is really beautiful because it talks about their value and their identity and their worth, which they don't believe about themselves. And we need to help them see that, help them see how God sees them and to really believe that. Some of the other things that curriculum and that material talks about is what does healthy relationships look like? Mm. You know, what does parenting kind of look like? How do I deal with grief? So it is a very all encompassing 10-week mentoring program for these women.
Okay.
So and they also, y'all, sorry, just to interrupt. I'm sorry.
No, but go ahead.
I'm assuming y'all have someone, because I think this is another issue. People who are raped and get pregnant, like, it's already a crisis in itself if you aren't, and it was, you know, and it just happened. But then do y'all have, I'm assuming y'all have, like, rape crisis where y'all can direct them to people like that? Because I think that a lot of people just in that situation, you know, that's even scarier. that takes it to the next level. And they probably feel like that. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine how they really feel, but I'm hoping that y'all have the resources there, because I think some people probably wouldn't know that y'all would even have that. They probably that's only right. go to one place.
That's right. And Kristen, I really appreciate that you brought that up, because one of the video resources that we have has a testimony of a woman on there that it was an assault situation for her. And in her words, these are not my words, but her words, she literally said, "I went from terror to relief." And finding Lifeline and having that advocate there for her to help her navigate and walk through that process. And, you know, that woman that has experienced that awful act, that is awful, but compounding the pain with an abortion is not going to undo the pain that she experienced from that violent act.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which is reminding me when you're talking about worth, because I know I was in the ER, I was a nurse there for a while. We would have rape victims come in and that, you know, you want to talk about not feeling worthy, or you feel terrible, or you feel just stripped of everything. You don't even know what's going on. So I think that this is exactly the place they need, not to go to somewhere else where they just say, "Oh, here's another procedure. Here's something you do," and then leave them alone again in their emotions and in their physical, like what happened.
And the trauma. Like,
they need the support for a while.
And one of the things that Lifeline does as well is we work with women that would show up to a hospital that, and I know it might be kind of hard for some of us and your listeners to you know, really comprehend, but there are women, because of the trauma that they've been through, have so disassociated themselves from their body that they will come to the ER and not know that they're pregnant and give birth. And so through our adoption ministry, we have families that are ready to step into that. Or a woman, you know, comes in and maybe there's a history of substance abuse and addiction, and we have families that want to bring hope to that child and to, you know, to give them a better life. So Lifeline counselors are there for those women too. And wow. Hospital, you know, staff, I mean, they could call Lifeline as a counselor for that woman to try to help her and to make a plan. Because in reality, that child will end up in foster care if there is not a placement plan in place.
I just wrote it down that I'm going to be sharing this with our hospital if they don't know.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Because again, by the way, having my sister adopted out of the system, a child was taken because the mother was drug addicted and there was no change. And so she fostered and then adopted. When the child's in the system, guys, it is, it's rough on everyone. It's rough on the kids, it's rough on the adoptive or fostering parents. Like, our systems are so broken in this country. So to be able to have someone come in like Lifeline that could advocate where the mom could, you know, either retain her rights or get the help that she needs so that then she can make the decision to keep or adopt. It was, again, what decision can she make in a clear-headed, healed space, not a trauma-induced space, mm-hmm. right? Which is very hard to make those decisions. I just think of Lifeline as being the one that comes in and kind of wraps their arms around these women and says, okay, we're here for you. We're going to stand with you. We're going to stake ourselves to you and get you through this with whatever resources that we have or we know we can connect you to. Mm-hmm. Like you said, to learn and grow as a parent, should they choose to parent.
That's right.
Can we talk about, though, and this is the conversation Kristen and Amy and I want to hear more about. We all know people who have gone through abortions, and we know the trauma of abortion, and it's not talked about ever. I never hear anyone in mainstream talk about abortion consequences or abortion trauma. What does the education look like when a woman says, okay, I'm considering this third choice, and Lifeline is prepared to say, okay, we're going to walk you through what this would look like. How do you educate her on that choice?
Yeah, we're going to talk about, more specifically, how does that choice impact? What are the longstanding impacts, right, of that choice? And if we've talked about, you know, her goals and things, well, does abortion really accomplish, you know, those goals, you know, that she has for herself? And I love one of our pregnancy counselors had really talked about kind of the difference between a goal versus a reason. And she gave me kind of this quote as I was asking them. She said, when we also discuss the goal she wants to accomplish from having an abortion, these are different than reasons. When this distinction of goals versus reasons is made, it helps to clarify the realities of abortion. And this is when we can introduce adoption as a potential option for her, because many of the goals that a woman has or the reason why they're looking or considering abortion could be accomplished through adoption without the trauma and the pain of the abortion.
Wow. And do you guys, but this may not be in your wheelhouse, for women who have had abortions and are dealing with the trauma, and I can't understate this enough in my own life. I think I probably have a counselor's heart and people feel that they can come tell me things and kind of unload on me with things they're struggling with, whether it's mentally, spiritually, whatever. And I can't tell you the number of women that I've talked to that have privately gone through this. And I might, for some, I don't know, I might be one of the few people even knew they went through it. What are the statistics on that, Erica? Is it 1 in 4 women have had an abortion?
Yeah, the statistics are 1 in 4 women in church,
wow.
When talking about the at-large population have walked through an abortion. So if you just, you know, next time you're in church, just take that number in for just a minute. And, you know, the reason is there's such shame that's tied to that. And Holly knows a little bit of my story. That is part of my story. I can say just by word of testimony and somebody that has walked through that there is, you know, there's shame wrapped up in that. And there's a lot of lies, you know, that you believe and you think if I can just get through this, that everything will be okay and nothing is further from the truth. And, you know, the thing is abortion, and I guess I'll just speak for myself, but I think this would be true for most women if they were honest. There's regret. There's a lot of regret there. But for a woman that would have the option to consider adoption and to make that choice, which is incredibly selfless and courageous, there's going to be heartache, but there's not going to be regret. And I, you know, for me personally, as soon as I got through that in my life, I knew I had made a terrible mistake and I wanted nothing but like a do-over. Like I wanted that back and to be able to do things differently. And there is no taking that back. Right?
Don't you girls feel like this isn't talked about? Because if we were to even look under the hood of a woman who's been through an abortion, that we would discourage women from getting them. And they're so terrified that we will make women feel like it's not an option. There's something in our culture that's like, oh, don't tell women that they can't do that. It's somehow infringing on their rights to tell them that, yes, that's an option. But as Kristen so beautifully said at the beginning, yes, it's an option, but it doesn't come without a cost or without consequences. And I think there are women who walk around. I mean, I saw one lady who'd had like 10 abortions, and she clearly has to be disconnected from her soul in some way to just continue to say, oh, it's fine. I mean, they're using it as birth control. We know this. It's such an abused practice in this country that there are women who truly have had so many abortions, and it's kind of their form of birth control. Now, I would say that's the extreme, but what are the numbers right now in this country, Erica? Do you know the number of abortions in this country right now? Do you know what the latest number is?
I would have to go and look that up. I can get that to you after the podcast. I know that there is something called abortion meter. I believe it's what it is. And it gives like a live ticking count of the number of abortions. It's a staggering number that would make your jaw drop. And I think it's between like 10 and 30,000 abortions are happening a month was another number that I recently saw.
And then remember the news came out, girls, remember this in New York State? Was it New York State or New York City that they had there was more African-American babies aborted than born in New York City last year. Is that, I think I will check that stat.
Say that was the number one killer of
African-Americans. Yes.
John Manchukwu, he told us that. That's how I knew that much of a statistic.
Yes.
And I also want to as I'm listening, it's almost like, thank you. First of all, Erica, thank you for telling your story, because I do feel like people who have had them don't talk about it enough. And it's almost like because of the shame, because of the regret. And it's almost like when you talk about it, like it probably brings it all back up, and you already feel, but also people have made you feel like you can't talk about it. Just like Holly said, it's like the vaccines. It's like if you ignore the adverse events, they don't happen. Or the bad things that happen with abortion, it doesn't happen. But there's all these bad things that come if you actually have the baby, you know, like, and there's going to be hard times on both ends. And I'm not going to negate the fact that it's going to be hard, even if you give your child up for adoption. Some people do feel like it and they love it. And I know you said maybe no regrets, but I think that there probably are some people that probably because I feel like maybe if you get to the point where you're like, okay, I've got my life together, I'd love to be back. I mean, I know that there are people that want to reconnect with their kids. And so hopefully y'all do carry on with those people who give their babies up for adoption, because that's not a, hey, okay, you're done. It's a whole process, and that's going to be a while, and you need the support too. And that's where I love that y'all are encompassing all of it holistically, taking into account just everything. This is truly like women first. This is truly just being informed and supported and held through the whole process, no matter what you choose.
Right.
This is love and acceptance. This is not... this is not the fake love and acceptance where, or this is not judging. I mean, from what it sounds like, there's no judgment here. And I think that's where a lot of people do. They feel like they're going to be judged.
Well, exactly. You know what it is it's true reproductive rights.
Yes.
Their slogan that they, that we're going to be hearing more and more as we.
Ooh, Amy.
Do. Well, yes. I mean, it's true. It's like, we want to talk about what reproductive rights are. Your rights are being supported as a woman first, knowing all of your options. And regardless of what you choose, not being judged and being supported through that process. Those are reproductive rights.
Period.
Period. And I think with a focus on the realities of all three choices, which we don't get, right? We, for whatever reason, our culture, as Kristen just reiterated, doesn't want to talk about the consequences of abortion. They'll talk about consequences of adoption or parenting, single parenting. They don't talk about the consequences of abortion, and we've got to have those conversations. And I do think there's this weird thing too. And did you guys see Bill Barr do his stand up in Denver, Colorado? And I'm going to talk about it because I feel like there's something that he's saying here that I think is important. Bill Barr is probably not, you know, right wing conservative Christian. He's probably not. In fact, he says, "I am pro-choice." He says it. I am pro-choice. He said, however, stop saying it's not a baby. No. Now, this is a comedian saying this. He goes, stop saying it's not a baby. He said, if you were going to bake a cake, you put all the ingredients together and you put it in your oven and someone pulls it out early, throws it on the floor and you say, you ruined my cake because it's a cake. And then they're like, well, it's not a cake. And he's like, well, it would have been if you'd left it in the oven. Yeah. And so he makes this point and it made headlines because he talks about if you're going to be pro-choice, he's basically saying be pro-informed on what you're actually doing. And I think where there is a disconnect that needs to continue to be bridged is please educate women on what it actually means to go through these processes. Certainly if you're doing late-term abortions, my God, I cannot even fathom the damage done to a woman who goes through that. You felt the baby move. You felt all this, and then it's gone.
Well, one of the laws in California was perinatal, which is after up to 28 days after, Holly. Like, this is where I remember specifically looking that up to make sure I was correct in understanding that. And Erica, you're nodding your head. I'm assuming you know that too. I mean, because when we did that whole episode when all the Roe versus Wade stuff happened, we wanted to make sure we had our facts straight.
Yeah.
And that right there is just, it's drawing the line. And then, like you said, that when you use it as birth control, it's not birth control.
Most people would agree, most sane people are common sense. Would agree that is not a method of birth control, you know, but I guess.
Right. It's so weird, right? It's like it's gone from an option to being pushed as an option up to 9 months. And I mean, Donald Trump, now I got to be careful what I say here, but I just saw some bits and pieces of an article this week where he said, you've got to have options within this conversation. And he says, there's got to be a limit on when that can happen. He's really talking about going back to the way things used to be, where there's like, you know, what was it, 12 weeks in most states. You after 12 weeks you couldn't do it. And again, it's a political conversation because it's made to be, because Republicans have chosen this pro-life stance and Democrats have pro-choice stance, and there's so much lost. There's so much nuance and conversation, which is why I love this conversation right here, because we're asking the questions and saying the things that perhaps just don't get said enough, don't get asked enough. And we're not taking a hard line anything here, but other than just saying we've got to bring the full scope of the situation to light, because when a woman's in this situation, she's dealing with the full scope of what's happening here. And regardless of her choice, she's going to, as Kristen said, live with it for the rest of her life. And we have to have more conversations around it.
And so in North Carolina, I guess it might be helpful just, well, I know I'm in North Carolina, but it would be helpful for everybody to know what your state's abortion laws are. You know, our state went from 20 weeks to 12 weeks, which was good, I think, for people that are pro-life, right? We wanted to see definitely more than that, but, you know, it is a step. We used to be known as an abortion destination state. So that means people were crossing state lines because surrounding states had tighter abortion laws. You know, the other thing I think that's important to know is there's a 72-hour, so it'd be good to find out, you know, in your state or in your country, right, what it looks like. But there is a 72-hour informed consent. So from the time that a woman has an ultrasound, nothing can happen. She can't get an ultrasound and then go straight to an abortion clinic. There has to be 72 hours that takes place. And according to my research, in the Care for Women's Act, I think it's State Bill 20. I may be may not have that bill correct, that number, but a woman is entitled to know the gestational age at the time of the abortion, a real-time view of the child, a heart tone monitor, and the location of a hospital within 30 miles of that abortion clinic that offers OBGYN care. That's what she is, and she can ask any questions that she wants to ask. She also has to sign the consent form and initial all the boxes. So we have had a couple situations in North Carolina where we have actually had to advocate and get legal counsel involved to protect two women that were being forced to have abortions. And so just for a woman to know, I think this is really important. If that is not something that you want to have happen to your body, you do not have to sign, and nobody can force that upon you.
And we should also mention, because I've read quite a bit about this, and I have some firsthand experience with someone walking through this, Down syndrome diagnoses. We have a real problem with doctors scaring the mothers into having abortions and to not raising these Down syndrome children. And this is a topic that for me personally will fire me up about as quick as anything. It'll bring out a fighter in me that is not nice. Yeah. I love so many people with Down syndrome. I have a special needs nephew with a different trisomy type situation, but I can't. It is a place where I can't, to say that someone doesn't have value because they're not going to come into the world perfectly is utter BS to me. And it kind of goes back to what Erica said at the beginning, worthiness and value of life has got to come back into conversation of each individual soul. We have tremendous value and it doesn't have to anything to do with what our physical bodies look like or what we have and don't have. And so I do want to make that, just bring awareness that there is a push to stop doctors from pushing this agenda and pushing women into this. I've watched them manipulate women into these decisions, and just know that, Erica, let me ask you that. Do you know what are the resources for a woman who does get a diagnosis like that your child has Down syndrome? Is there a support group to help those women prepare for parenting? Or
yeah, I personally can't, you know, rattle off a list, but to be sure, with the way that America is resourced and there are people that care and, you know, want to activate good, right? There have got to be definitely places that somebody can go. And again, I think that's kind of like a church, right? Is a great place because they're really aware of who's in their church body that could come alongside a family like that. You know, and again, you know, I know every family has got to consider, right, their capacity. Every woman has got to consider her capacity. But this is another opportunity where instead of a woman feeling afraid, right, to give life to a child that might have a you know, a challenge, a medical condition even that they feel like they don't have the capacity to care for, I think this is another place, right, where adoption can be a really viable option because there are families that are ready and to come along and step into that. And I will also say that Lifeline only does open adoption. And I think this is really important because kind of, Kristen, you were talking a little bit earlier about that connection, or maybe later on, you know, you're in a different place in your life and would you still have relationship? The families that are coming to Lifeline to adopt domestically, they want that birth mother to be able to have a relationship with her child, and they want to honor her as, you know, as they're caring for their child, honoring that adoption story. And so there is opportunity for families, adoptive families, to have communication. And that looks different for every family, what that looks like, but with that birth mom. And our families also agree to at least a one in-person a year visit. And I tell you, that has been some of the most beautiful things that our pregnancy counselors and adoption counselors have gotten to see, is that reunification come through. And it, yeah, really beautiful. And sometimes a woman that maybe has had an abuse situation, she's come through that and she might be making a decision in that moment of, I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to have contact. I don't want, but a year, 2 years, 3 years later, you know, her heart may be feeling different and she wants to have that. So I think it's really important, again, in this adoption space and world, to be working with an organization, a ministry, an agency that is providing that. You know, we would keep all of that contact information from that adoptive family. And so if that birth mom later on decided she wanted to have an update, we would have all of that stuff and be able to send it to her when she's at a place that she would be ready to receive that.
That all sounds amazing. Well, girls, do you have any other things? Have we missed anything that we wanted to ask or talk about on this? I feel like we covered a lot.
I'm sure I'll think of something after.
I know, it always happens. Well, Erica, we always put together a Substack where we give all these resources. So, of course, we're going to give all the connections back to Lifeline. And any other things, any stats we mentioned, we're going to give reference to.
Right, yeah.
I do have one question just because I'm really curious about this. I saw something recently where we're at a classroom of children. They were look like high school kids. We're watching a cesarean birth, and they were so repulsed by what, clearly, like, I don't even want to watch that, right? They were watching it, and someone made the comment, well, can you imagine if these kids were forced to watch what an abortion looked like? Would it have an impact on the choices that they're making? I know personally, at some point in my life, watched a video where I saw the baby or fetus, as that those people like to say, baby to me, try to move away from the needle, try to get away from it. And it's never left me. It's never left me. And I'm wondering, in the process of it, and again, I hate fear mongering. So I hate putting fear in people to like help them make a decision. But of course, there is fearful aspects of all of this. Are there things that a woman, or do you know of things that people, if let's say they're not even using Lifeline, but they're trying to ponder these and they hear about this, is there a place that gives honest truth about the abortion process to people? Because I think I know women have been horrified going through it because they had no clue. Is there a way to get that kind of information?
Yeah, I would really highly, highly encourage seeing a local pregnancy resource center, because they're going to do an ultrasound. They're going to talk through. They are equipped and staffed with nurses to talk through that. And so that would be my recommendation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Okay. Well, Erica, we're going to make sure everyone knows how to get connected back to Lifeline. And we'll say, guys, it is a charity organization. It is a 501(c), right, Erica? So you can make tax deductible donations. If this is a cause that's near and dear to your hearts and you've listened to Erica today, just share her heart behind this ministry and it aligns with you, we're going to just encourage you to go check them out and to support them because they exist solely on those donations and that support. And if you want to get involved in the local, in your local church organizations or what have you, and try to align with this, there's a way that you can do that as well. But again, we just wanted to bring awareness to something that was really about putting that woman first and loving on her and ministering to her and giving the full scope and having the hard conversations about all the options instead of pushing in one direction or another. And we're just so grateful to know something like this exists, Erica.
Yes. Well, Holly, I would add one more thing real quickly if I can, sure. Because I know not all of your, you know, listeners, viewers are going to come from a faith background. So I think one thing that everyone can do, regardless of your faith, but to just create a culture of respect and dignity and love around this issue is really to become more educated on the way that we talk about adoption and birth mother ministry, because it really has an impact on kind of this pervasive stigma, right, that it carries in our society. And so just education on adoption, positive language. So kind of instead of saying phrases like maybe putting a child up for adoption or giving a child up for adoption, shifting that phrasing to this woman placed, you know, her child with a family or made a plan or entrusted their baby to, because that really is more of an accurate reflection of the heart of adoption and what this birth parent is doing, right? It communicates that that baby's best interest was top priority, that that child's life has value in the parent's eyes. So, and I think even just little things like moving away from saying it was an unwanted pregnancy, right, to just an unplanned pregnancy or an unexpected pregnancy. And then one more I'll just leave you with is, you know, as we talk about saying maybe a child is adopted, to just phrasing that as was adopted, because that adoption is just an event in a child's life, right? It's just a part of their story and it really doesn't define the child. So that's just a way that everybody can, you know, be an advocate and be aware.
I love that. I love that. Well, Erica, thank you so much for being with us. We are so thankful for just the education and the knowledge and the resources that we can point our audience to and perhaps have more of these conversations, you know, certainly in this coming election year where we know it's going to continue to come up, that people just know it's not a black and white conversation. It's not a left and right conversation. There's so much more to these stories and we all need to get informed on them. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being with us and thank y'all for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Y'all.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Kristen and Holly.
Bye.